Well, for today, we're finishing Turkey Month with Turkish Superman.
Rage, who are you talking to?
Thomas. I just assumed he asked that because he's always asking what we're watching.
Yeah, but he's not here today.
Oh? Huh. Well, I guess I'm just hearing the usual stuff. Hey, why won't he make it?
It finally got to him. He couldn't take it anymore and lost it.
Ah, poor guy. Well, to be fair, he kind of lost it to Turkish ET anyway. Truth be told, I can't believe he lasted this long.
Yeah, so it looks like it's just us.
Well, hang on, maybe not. Hang on a sec. Let me call someone.
Who else would join us? Alex Jones? Do you really want to drag someone else into this?
No. Trust me. The guy I got in mind, he's cool. He's really cool. Just hang on. Here, I got him. Hey, Rook, you free to do a review with us today?
Yeah, sure. What are we watching?
Superman?
Yeah, sure. I love Super. Wait a minute. You don't really sound so sure. What kind of Superman is this?
It's sort of Superman.
What in the world does that mean?
Nothing. It's cool. I'll send you the link so you can watch it.
Righteous. Hey, where's Thomas at?
He's not feeling well today.
Poor Smegan guy. He deserved better. I blame myself.
What's going on?
Nothing. I'll get the intro music started and we can kick this one off.
That's not the intro music.
Go with it.
Sci-Fi Melody, Symptom 173, Turkish Superman. They tried. Still better than anything in the Abrams universe.
And with that, welcome back, Sickies, to our final episode of Turkey Month with Turkish Superman. And really, the title of it says everything. They tried. I mean, it's better than Turkish ET. I can say that with full confidence that this definitely is better than Turkish ET. At no point was I just horrified.
To be fair,
I was just laughing.
To be fair, I could take a dump on a plate and serve it up and call it steak, and it would be better than Turkish ET.
Oh, for sure. The clay potato ET is just, I'm never going to forget the him riding in an ox cart over Istanbul in broad daylight. That to replace the bike ride in front of the full moon with one kid, that was by far the best scene. I could watch that over and over again. Just that scene. Just that. Joining us with us today, Sickies, is Ruck over from the Crate audio drama. How you doing, Crate or Ruck? Whatever.
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you for having me on again, guys. It's been a while since our last little rendezvous.
Yeah, well, we're always happy to have guests, so thanks for coming on. And besides, we need a third person to it kind of takes away. If we have a third person, it shares the pain. So
Turkey Month has been the most collateral damage and friendly fire in the history of Sci-Fi Malady. It put me in the hospital, and it broke Thomas's mind.
Yeah, see, that's why next month we're going to do something. We're going to get back to form here and try to repair some damage with Dune December. So this will make Scott and Thomas feel a lot better because, yeah, wow, this month. I stand by it, but I blame myself for the damage and understand.
You know, it was fun. Overall, aside from it putting me in the hospital, it was fun. It was fun to just laugh at things. And I will say that I thought for a second that this one might be the most cheap and off the rails of them all when the intro literally had like 10-cent plastic Christmas ornaments.
Yeah. I should say I do feel really bad for roasting this movie because this is not America. This is a third world country that we're making fun of who produced a movie. Like they didn't have to do this. Yeah.
In the 70s, too.
Yeah, in the 70s. So, you know, it's already going to be like a iffy, like it doesn't hold up movie. But oh, my goodness. Like some of this movie, I was just like, oh, come on, man. Really? Like, was the budget really that low?
It's an action figure flying in front of a TV playing background.
Like, you know what? Let me put it to you this way. As I watched this, I suddenly started thinking of when we did Matinee May, when we did watched all those matinees, and I thought, this is like a 1930s matinee. And that would be like the story looks the same, the story beats, the way it works out. It's an hour long, so it's really just like two episodes of a matinee serial like Flash Gordon. So it's got that simplicity to it. But what kills it is when you're like, well, what kills it is the action figure flying. But then, like, there's a minute where you're like, oh, I might actually consider this like I did the 30s. Wait a minute. This is the 70s. I'm not going to give them that. The 30s, you kind of are just like, yeah, the effects are what it is because the 30s. But it's the 70s. Yeah. You could have done better. It's just, because it's like trying to do a video today and having it look like it was made in 1981. It's like, okay, that's inexcusable unless you were deliberately trying to look bad, because an iPhone does better camera quality than that.
Well, you know, this film was shot in 48p with Zapruder Vision Dynamic Range.
And you know that?
No. I'm being sarcastic. It looks like this was shot in Zapruder Vision with a filter of crippling economic depression.
I don't know. They compressed the hell out of this. Like, some of the music, I had to take my headphones off for some of the music because I was like, this is just so high pitched. What the world?
I was watching it and suddenly, like, ah!
The kryptonite rock music, it hurt my ears. It gave me a headache. I was like, oh my goodness.
But at least this week didn't mix Pink Floyd in for the Star Trek soundtrack and do Turkish Star Wars with Indiana Jones' theme song every time the dude trampolined onto the screen.
Listen, we can get back to this later in Rips and Picks, but one of my biggest things about the movie was the soundtrack. Like, I hated it so much. It was like listening to the worst Spotify playlist I've ever heard with the Superman theme, like a really bad compressed version of the Superman theme playing every other song. It's like intermittent break with the Superman theme.
Yeah, I was going to say it wasn't timed well. It was like 2 minutes of the song and then disco track.
Yes, yeah. I was about to say that the like 20-second disco Superman scene where they like did the remix as he's flying through the sky. Lois Lane. I'm like, ooh, I literally said, oh, disco Superman. Disco fever. Disco fever.
The audio whiplash in this movie could cause you to take out an insurance claim.
No, because it was so weird because it went from like the Superman theme, then it went to this weird like James Bond almost.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Then it went back to the Superman theme again. Then it went to like that 80s, like really weird disco theme while they're in the car or whatever. Then it went to like another Superman theme. Then it went to almost like an electronic hard rock song. And I was like, what in the world is happening? My ears are so confused at everything.
It's like the sound designer was just like, change it here. Like, he got really button happy and just kept changing it.
Yeah, he used the Family Guy method of writing where the manatees just rolled up the half jokes and combined the two of them.
Yeah, but then he just kept pressing the change button again and again and again. You didn't even get like a minute into that song. Whatever. This is fun. Yeah.
I will also say I am going to have a lot of picks with this movie, or I'm going to have a lot of rips for this movie because I am a very big DC like Superboy fan, like Superman fan, Batman fan, like whatever DC hero, I'm a very big fan. So this movie caused me much mental pain and anguish just from watching it. At one point I had to pause it to like take a break from it and just come back and go, okay, let's finish this movie.
See, I think it didn't bother me so much because I've never been a Superman fan. I can tell you I don't think I've watched any of them the movies completely through, and it's not because I dislike Superman, but it just never drew, you know, for the most part, with the exception of the Marvel Universe recently in certain storylines in that, I've never been the big superhero guy. But so it didn't cause me as much pain.
Yeah, I mean, the old Superman movies are okay. The Man of Steel movies are, I don't know if this is going to be a hot take. I don't know how many people like them. I don't really like the Man of Steel movies. Wasn't a fan of the Lois Lane in there. I wasn't really a fan. I liked Henry Cavill in the role of Superman, but
he was fine.
The story wasn't lining up and everything. And I was just like, this is not the best, but it's a Superman movie, so I'll take it, I guess. But it wasn't my favorite. But yeah.
The cranberry sauce coming out of the can, looking like a can, is sauce. I mean, it looks like a tin can, but okay. So with that, let's get to some fun facts here, because boy, do I have a few. So the Superman in this movie, they changed all the characters' names to Turkish names, which whatever.
That's it. I'm fine with that.
Clark Kent is called Typhoon. The actor's name is Typhoon. I guess they needed to keep his name so when they talked to him, he knew who they were talking to on set. I mean,
judging by his fight choreography skills, I'm not sure he was so great of an actor.
I'm guessing they just hired him because he looked the part, kind of. So
he did look like a Superman. Like, I could see it. Like, if you were to put him next to, like, what's his face from the old
Reeve?
Christopher Reeve. I could see it. Like, the side-to-side comparison, yeah.
And the height. I'm sure that's why they picked him. Yeah. But they were like, they probably called him, like, Clark or something, and he'd be like, huh? All right, just call him Typhoon. Just
okay.
Just, this is not going well.
When I look at you, Mr. Thompson, and step on your foot and say hello, Mr.
Say
Thompson.
Hi.
I think he's talking to you.
Anyway, Alev, who is Lois Lane, is played by Gungor? I don't know. You know what? I'm not going to go down this list. I can't read these names, so we're just going to skip that part and go to the fun facts. Now, of course, the thing we always try to do is have the budget. The budget was money. Don't tell you.
I'm gonna guess it was pretty low because I think they used it all on the stone and that one scene with the trains. Because the rest of it literally was an action figure being suspended on a string in front of TVs.
Yeah, that definitely was something. So, a few fun facts. Popular movie soundtracks were used to complete the score, such as the 1978 Superman by John Williams, the James Bond movies by Monty Norman, and a lot of, I guess it was, this Turkish disco. Let's see. Then, according to the director, whose name cannot be said on this show, because I presume in Turkey that's a fine name, but in English, it doesn't translate well.
Yeah. If you want to know what it is, you can just look up the IMDb or you can just watch the movie, and the credits are in like the first like 2.5 minutes of the movie.
Oh my goodness. It's a double take moment when you're going, wait, what? And you go back just a couple seconds to go, yep, that's what I saw.
And it's not just, one surprising name.
No, it's just the one that stuck out the most to me.
Yeah, one of the actors, I can't remember if it was their first or their last name. They were a seeker of many, many chickens. We'll just say that.
Yes, and the other name might just be related to the old joke where you have the receptionist make a call for Mike Hunt.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
That's race to the bottom, by the way. That's what I do.
Anyway, so according
to you, get the joke yet?
According to the director, he advised the actor who played the Turkish version of Jor-El to join his upper lip so as to not show his lack of teeth.
I didn't even...
And Jor-El is Superman's father, if you're not sure. Now, when he shows up in the movie, he's wearing a suit that looks a lot like Marlon Brando's suit from the 1978 Superman. But what you don't know is how hard he's trying to hide his lack of teeth. And it worked. But and then the actor refused to do this simply by saying, but I am an alien from another planet. So, yeah, that's a fun fact. Another one, according to the director, Typhoon was actually a friend of his and he was not an actor. Oh, well, that confirmed it.
Well, that explains so much.
I am shocked. I am shocked.
Typhoon was doing military service, but the film team got him to ask for a week's permit to shoot the film. Because it was shot. Yeah, actually, that's it. It was shot in 1 week during winter.
They shot this in a week? Okay, yeah. This explains a lot. This does explain a lot. Okay, yeah. I don't feel bad making fun of this movie anymore.
Yeah. The house cat, this is a big, big rip. The house cat that they shot with a laser to kill was actually the director's cat. It was his house and cat, actually.
Okay. So I watched that, and I just sat there, and I'm like, it turned it to gold. Let's see what it does to something living. Get a cat. What? I'm not a cat person, but I'm like, let's go grab a cat and shoot it with this laser and see what happens. What? Why? Why do you need a golden cat? Yeah. It turns things to gold.
Yeah, you can literally just shoot the ground.
Right. Let's see what it does to
living things.
Right. Let's see what just it does to something bed. Living. Okay, we're gonna weaponize it, but I mean, maybe a rat. Go get a cat. Let's go get a cat.
Yeah, something like, hey, there's a bee. There's a wasp. Shoot that.
Why would it do something different to a living thing than a dead thing? Reasons?
That's where the 1930s serial part comes in, where it's like, yeah, you know, I would buy this if this were a 1930s serial. I'd run with it and call it cool.
I literally stopped there and I'm like, get a cat. What?
So, and then another fact, this was filmed without sound and all the actors were dubbed with different people.
I did see that. Because some of the times, what was his name? Typhoon. Typhoon's lips when he was talking, I feel like he was just going because none of the things that were said looked like it was coming out of his mouth.
Okay, because that makes me wonder though, how bad did their voices have to be? Was Typhoon?
Did he sound like this?
It was like Mike Tyson,
like a mob boss named Tiny.
Yeah,
everyone got planted like a punch in the face.
Yeah, hey, Vander, I'm sorry. After filming that film, I had back problems. Yeah, my back was busted, spinal.
I'm definitely gonna eat his children.
Yeah. And the last one, according to the director, the kryptonite stone was made of plexiglass, and he still keeps it. I guess it'd make for a good paperweight.
I mean, like, I guess if I had made a movie and it got any notoriety, I would definitely be like, yep, I am keeping something from this.
Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Maybe, but maybe not. Like, man, if this is your career, like your actual professional career, and this is the defining moment of your career, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to look in the mirror at that point. I mean, I don't know.
Okay, hang on. I just IMDb'd his name, which I'm not sure what's going to happen after this.
you have been put on a watch list now.
I know. So let's look at his other films. So he did Superman. He did what looks like a Turkish kung fu film. He did Tarzan the Mighty Man, which I'm assuming was a Turkish film. I assume they're all. And then there's this other film. I don't know, but there's a Luger in the movie poster. Movie poster looks pretty cool, actually. I'm sure the poster's cooler than the movie, but you know, the kung fu the film. Ejiren Itakami or whatever, looks great. Like, that movie poster would make me think, oh man, I can't wait to see that. And then
That's the thing about a movie poster. The better the movie poster, the worse the movie, because you need a good poster.
That's not true. But it certainly is true about this, because just looking at it was like, oh man, this looks awesome. But let's see, that's about all of it, I guess. I mean, it doesn't look like he had this gigantic career here.
If I'm an amateur and I make a movie, then yeah, I'm really happy, you know, and it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be my greatest moment. But
I guess that was the end. I don't think he's alive anymore, but if he is, he's old because he was born in 48. He's alive still.
Yeah, he's not that old. 48 isn't that old.
No, I take it back. But I guess you would keep it because it's not like he's got this illustrious career.
Yeah.
What is he, like 72?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So
I guess you keep it the way I keep my second place trophy from the University of Akron Billiard Championships in 2005 to remind me of failure. And did not be happy with saying, I'm not kidding. I'm looking at it right now and I've kept it forever. Not because I want it or I'm proud of it, but that I took second place at 26 years old to a group of 19-year-old college students who weren't that good at the game.
Wow. You just really brought yourself low there.
My it's what I do.
Accomplishment was winning a minor pool tournament at a lesser known university, and I got second place against people that sucked.
I also took a fourth place in a sports talk radio reality contest.
I got all these great things. these are all like, I have a treasure. I have a menagerie of near misses that I like to celebrate.
Yes, but they're not my real career. That's the difference.
Okay. Well, let's before we jump in with our particulars, let's do the rips and picks, or no, the plot, because this will be quick and easy. I always say that.
You've been getting better at that recently, though.
Yeah, Superman is born on Christmas ornament Krypton, and he's sent to Earth because some gases just coalesce and blow up Krypton, and they send him back to Earth, and he's raised by the parents on a farm. Yada yada yada. Starts off with him getting home from college, decides to be a journalist, and then his parents give him a piece of kryptonite. And he winds up in, an old Roman settlement and throws it in the wall. And his dad shows up and tells him, you're Superman. Don't go near the crystal. You'll lose your powers. And Superman goes to become a journalist. At the same time, somehow some guy named Dr. Hatteen finds the crystal and they're finding a way to use it for energy. But like everything in every movie, everywhere, anything that can be used for energy can also be turned into the ultimate weapon of doom. And that's still happening today. And so I don't know why. And it just seems to be the case to me that every time some alternative form of energy is created, even if it's just in jest, it can immediately be flipped to evil. So that's why we should stick with good old reliable coal, I guess.
Wonderful, beautiful coal.
Yeah. So an evil guy who was on the research team wants to take it because alchemy, he could use it in a machine to make everything into gold. All right. I don't know how they figured that out, but they can.
I'm glad in the 70s we're still trying to come up with alchemy.
Yeah, I know. So glad to see you didn't move on from that. Keeping the traditions alive.
You ever think of, you know, we're using fiat currencies now worldwide. What's going to happen when you flood the gold market as you try to exchange your gold for cash?
Yeah, it'll make Bitcoin.
Gold becomes essentially worthless in this Turkish Superman universe.
Yeah. Right.
Can you imagine a machine, though, that it makes Bitcoin? You do realize that's not a physical thing, right? What? I see pictures of it all the time. Yeah, we need to talk.
someone actually walks into a store and produces physical Bitcoin to try to buy something.
You are really missing the point of this, sir.
It's got a lot of promise. It does.
That's as good as the millennials refusing to accept $2 bills and the reports of them calling the cops for people trying to pass counterfeit money because they're using $2
How
bills.
How often does that happen, really?
I have a $2 bill in my wallet because they're super cool.
Yeah,
they are.
I legit do. They're super awesome.
Why people thought that that was a thing, I don't know, but thank you for thinking about it. But so Superman is Lois Lane, or we're just going to call her Lois Lane because I can't remember her name. She, of course, is the daughter of the scientist, Allie, and the bad guys kidnap her about 20 times.
Oh, yeah, because she's just stupid.
Each time Superman saves her, and the action scenes are great for 1933. He survives them all. Except electricity knocks him out. But again, if I'm applying 1930 serial logic, it works perfect. But this is 1978 or whatever. So, no, I'm not giving it that kind of luxury. And long story short, Superman saves Lois 20 times after they pull a Grand Theft Auto on her like 5 times. Every time they kidnap her, it's like GTA, except the one where the guy shoots the tire of the car he's in without going, maybe this will go against me. He doesn't think that far.
Congratulations, you're dead. I mean, you fell out of the trunk and died.
What could go wrong if the car flips over? I'm in the trunk, protected safely. They're almost indestructible. So
the guy was like, dude, this is a big brain play right now. I have 300 IQ currently.
Yeah, I know. Boss, I got this great idea. I'm going to jump in the trunk and shoot her tire out while she's driving. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I wish we had thought of that. That's really, wow. You keep that up, you're going to be in charge of this place. So, yeah. And then they find out that the bad guy gets the crystal, turns something to gold, then decides to test it on a living thing and kills a cat. Jerk. And then that's what makes him really bad. And he's Mr. I'm going to have all the money and the power in the world. And then some reason the scientists are talking about how to make Superman, an arc that goes literally nowhere after that. And then Superman they get on a train, the bad guys, to stop the scientists who could stop him, the bad guy, and they tie up the scientists and make the train to crash. They set it up so it'll crash with another train. Superman stops the trains, and then he gets the bad guy. Even though the bad guy has the laser that can take away his powers and he uses it earlier, it doesn't matter. And then Superman just decides to suddenly go back to look for Krypton, which is, I guess, where the return comes in, because this is called Superman Returns. So there it is. That's the story. And it's interspliced with a lot of different soundtracks that, as we said, give you audio whiplash. So yeah. Let's get into the rips and picks, because this is where the real meat of the conversation is. And I need to start off with the thing that made me want to watch this more than anything else in the world. The fact that all the flying scenes are them literally holding a Superman action figure up in front of a film projector as it's projecting whatever scene in the world so they can make it look like he's flying. It's an action figure. You know it's an action figure. Anybody in Turkey watching this would know it's an action figure.
Especially since they did close-ups.
Yes.
Dude, one of my favorite ones was when they it was like one of the first ones where he was flying in front of a speedboat and they waved and it looked like the person who was waving was literally just brushing his chest off. Just like, oh, hey, that's Superman. Let me feel his pecs real quick.
Yeah. That would be my favorite. But honestly, that's so bad for me. It's a pick. Because, as I said, authenticity makes bad good sometimes. And that's what happens here. I really think the director wanted to do something awesome, but didn't have the money. So he was like, okay, I can make this work. I can make it work. And he tried really hard and he meant it. It wasn't like a guy going, hey, let's be stupid. No, like he really wanted to do something great. I believe it.
Yeah.
So my two biggest rips. One, this movie at some points really tries to be fake scientifically accurate with all the work they spent into the coming with the atomic formula for the Krypton stone. But then they forget inertia. Everyone on the trains are dead. You can't stop two speeding trains that quickly without everybody flying into the wall or the chair in front of them and breaking their back or neck and dying instantly. Everyone's dead. It's not always the impact that kills you in a collision. It's the sudden change of direction that severs your spine at 80 miles an hour. Everyone's dead. You saved the trains. The owners, the state owners of the shipping companies will be happy, but all the people are dead because no one was in seatbelts.
That's right.
It's kind of like in Hancock where they tell him you should have went up with it when he stops the train. Or he took the cars straight up. But and then the three henchmen, I call them Larry, Curly and Moe, lose a race up and down a mountain that is covered in woods and forest to a woman in high heels. How does she outrun you up a mountain in high heels?
For the same reason, what's her name could run perfectly, can beat a velociraptor in high heels in Jurassic World. Because she refused to take the heels off. That's why.
That's so pathetic that you lost because that race.
Because she looks BA in them pumps, boy. You don't even know.
Oh, yeah, that's it. So she's got to keep them. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay, I have a couple rips, but I want to do my biggest one first because I do want to get this out of the way as the DC fanboy that I am, because I feel like people are going to go, "Oh, you're just being mean to this film." During the cave scene, Jor-El, the green man, Jor-El, for some reason he's green. I'll get to that later. He literally, word for word, takes the old Captain Marvel.
Shazam!
Yeah, the Shazam stuff, and tells that to Superman. He goes, you have the might of Hercules, the speed of the mail delivery guy. Oh, my
Hermes.
Hermes,
thank you.
I'm finding it. I remember. I know some of it, but.
Or is it Mercury?
The wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the patience of Atlas,
the bravery of Achilles, something of Zeus,
the bravery of Achilles, and the speed of Mercury.
Yeah. I was like, why is this happening? There is little that you can do to mess up Superman. He's like the biggest, like he's probably at this point one of the most recognizable like superheroes in the world.
For sure. You know, like,
how do you mess up him with Captain Marvel I keep calling him Captain Marvel.
That was his original name.
But Shazam, I can understand, like, oh yeah, they're both very strong white guys with capes. But holy crap, like, you're making a movie about Superman, you should at least know a little bit. Like, this is not okay. And for Jor-El to be naming all of these Greek gods when he comes from a different planet.
That was my problem with it more than anything.
Because it sounds cool. That's why. Because when you hear it, you're like, oh, man. Yeah. But then someone like me, as soon as he said it, the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules. And as soon as he got to Hercules, I'm like, are you really copying Shazam?
Yeah.
You're copying Shazam. I knew it.
As soon as he started saying Greek gods, I was like, no way. And then he finished it, and I went, oh, he did. Oh, he did. Also, yeah, also, my the entire cave scene, honestly, is my least favorite part about this movie. Why is Jor-El green at all?
Because he's an alien.
So, Jor-El is green, but his son looks like a perfect human. You know, makes perfect sense.
Maybe the paint was there to distract from the lack of teeth.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. It was so
bad. Have just bought fake, like, cheap dentures. Nope. Just tell him, paint him green and say, purse your lips.
Yeah. Also, is that supposed to be, like, the Fortress of Solitude? Like, is that supposed to be?
I was thinking that, but then he never went back.
Yeah, because
he just shows up there, and it's like, okay, so you didn't want to make a North Pole set. Okay. And I mean, using the set, the locations you have, that's cool. Like, this could have worked, but it wasn't established anything. You threw the kryptonite. It blew up. Your dad told you you're Superman or Captain Marvel, if you will. And then that was it. He's like, well, what drew you to that spot? Was it just because, well, this place looks as good as any?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. It is that was probably my biggest rip. I have other ones, but I'll let you guys continue while I recover from my little rant there.
Oh no, I get that. Superman's my second favorite hero, and this was the only credit I could give the character was, well, they got the super suit right, but not really a high bar to reach there.
Yeah.
They could have just rented it.
I feel like the budget for this movie was like $100 US. Like, honestly. Like, between the Christmas tree ornament planets at the beginning, that they honestly could have just painted, like, from somebody's attic or something. From the really poorly made Superman suit. I will give them credit. It looks like Superman, but holy bejesus. Half the props that they use are just, like, they reuse footage, they reuse props sometimes. I'm like, okay, what is happening here? Come on. Like, the sets aren't that hard to make. Most of this is shot outside.
I'm thinking that, and I guess this is a rip, that the title crawl and the credits, so the space scene, the Superman logo at the opening credits, and the credits themselves could have been done by Mrs. Trevecki's second grade class, and Superman special effects flying provided by director's kids action figure. Like, he went to a second grade class and said, well, I need to borrow your Superman figure, and kids, this is what your project is. You're going to make outer space. And the teacher just pulled out whatever she had in her drunk junk drawer.
Yeah.
And then
I like drunk drawer better.
Yeah, drunk drawer. Yeah. And they drew a Superman logo, and there it is. That's the intro. And the kids even do the credits, and then cars provided by everyone working on the film.
Yeah.
Because, like, oh, here's a nice rip. So they dump Lois into that dump truck. They lock her in it, and then they set it off. But it's like it's an AI dump-driven dump truck, because they stop it. They climb out, they climb in another car, and then the truck starts going, which is like, so did they have an AI driver? Because there's nobody in the cab that we know of. And it's like, it's almost like, so did they just put a brick in there with a strange, like, Goldstein contraption with an acid thing that would burn the rope so that the brick would fall on the pedal and it would start moving after they left? Because, like, a Rube Goldberg kind of thing, because, and then the truck is just swerving back and forth. It's like, I'm pretty sure at the first bend in the road, it would have crashed into the hill or something.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
That whole part was like, nope, I'm not. No, it just started driving on its own. No.
So when they tell her to drive her car up the ramp, the 2x4s into the truck.
Oh, they didn't show that scene.
Have you ever seen the video, Why Did You Turn, where they're trying to load a Honda Civic up into a U-Haul and they've got the lady in the car and she's just supposed to drive it straight and they're going to push the car at the last second before it hits the ramp? Before it gets into the truck, she turns and drives it off the ramp into the back of the truck.
No.
Look up Why Did You Turn. It's like a 10-second video. I think it was on Tosh. And as they drive it up, the guys are talking, why did you turn? Why did you bleeping turn? And she's like, I didn't turn. Well, yes, you did.
Okay.
Oh, I see it right now. I'm gonna watch this after this.
You said it's 10 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
It's a minute.
All right. I can't wait. I got to see this.
Oh my goodness. I'm just watching the preview. Oh my gosh. Why did you turn?
That's all I could think of when I saw this scene going.
Well, because then they show it like going up. They show her car just from the underside driving over, and you presume it's the car. It could have been a wheelbarrow for all we knew. But yeah, I thought of that too, because there were the 2x4 ramps. It's like, I'm going to go ahead and guess that's not good enough to bear the weight of, oh man, Honda meets a U-Haul and more car fails. Oh my gosh. Why did they try to put a Honda Civic into a U-Haul is the better question.
Right. It's probably not running, but I mean, it's just, it's terrible.
Yeah. Because plus when you take the car out of the truck, so you have to push it out of there. You know that, right? You're just going to have her back up the car. I'm sure that would violate U-Haul's moving policy.
Most likely.
Since they have trailers for cars. Anyway.
Oh man.
Yeah, that is a good rip. I also want to, there is one thing, and this isn't a pick by any means, but I will give this much credit. There, compared to the US version of Superman Returns, this film has more Superman fighting action. Yeah. I hate to admit it, cuz the Brandon Routh Superman Returns, the first, like, I don't know, half hour, whatever it is amazing. The airplane rescue scene is fantastic. It's spectacular. And the bank robbery scene, oh, it's everything you wanted to see in a Superman, like, thwarting a bank robbery. And then after that, pretty much after the rescue, the airplane rescue, it kind of goes down a little bit, but then it gets to the bank robbery scene. You're like, oh yeah, he's on. And then after that, it's just like, we're done. We're just going to rehash up Superman 1, except not as well. And he's not going to fight. And then that complaint got to Zack Snyder, who decided that Man of Steel, they need to be punching all the time. Just punch, 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 punch. The punches aren't doing anything. Punch! So this actually, whereas Zack Snyder overcompensated and Brandon Routh's Superman Returns couldn't compensate, this was the happy medium of, well, at least there's a fight. The problem is, though, if Superman's as strong as he is, every time he punches one of those guys, I really hope he's holding back because they should be liquid goo right now. Yeah. Although he did knock a guy into a tree who, as soon as he got to the branch, he wrapped his arms around it. It's like there must have been a pulley system that pulled him up. And as soon as he got up there, they're like, okay, grab the tree. Otherwise you'll probably fall.
Yeah. I think one of my things about the action scene is, yeah, there's a lot, but this Superman, I'm very glad to know that he's not an actor now. So I can actually say this. He's military. He should know how to fight. Why does he look like when was that? 1920s Adam West Batman had the runs on set and couldn't separate his butt cheeks while fighting, or else all of it would just spill out. So he's just really stiffly like punching these bad guys. I'm like, this doesn't look like fighting. This just looks like really, really weird action figure. Like you move the arm and then you move it.
Yeah. That was the 60s Batman, yeah.
He probably knew how to throw a real punch, but he had no idea how to throw a fake punch.
Well, yeah, exactly. There is a point, I have seen this, that one of the problems with getting someone who's actually, like, let's say an MMA fighter or trained in hand-to-hand to choreograph real fights, they have to be taught how to display fight. Because a real fight, for example, the movie Ip Man 3 or 4, Ip Man's a really great series of movies with Donnie Yen. And in it, Ip Man, who's a wushu master, was fighting Mike Tyson. And they had to film Mike Tyson in a different way because they told him, throw your punches like you normally do. Well, his jabs are straightforward and quick. There's not like a big telegraph swing for appearance sake. No, it's a quick punch forward, so you can't see it coming. So they had to like change camera angles and occasionally tell him, all right, this time just swing real wide. We know you wouldn't do it, but do it for the show. So a lot of fighters who, like, you know, like anybody who does MMA and then goes into an action film has to be taught how to fake fight.
Right. Because not everyone is like Sylvester Stallone, who in all of his Rocky movies just kept telling the people boxing him to really punch him.
Right. Yeah. You have to learn how to fake fight. So for this guy, I mean, it still sucked, but I'll give him some credit in that. He's not an actor, and B, I presume he learned hand-to-hand, but he didn't learn how to do hand-to-hand for the camera. So even if he is like a hand-to-hand expert, let's just say, because of the army, maybe they trained him well, he doesn't know how to do it for the camera. He knows how to like take you down normal style, which is fast and not flashy. So yeah. That's always a problem with fight choreography, that the choreography you see looks awesome, but it's like, nah, that's not how it goes.
Yeah. Man, it's just weird to see like that action figure style fighting.
Oh, for sure. No, you're absolutely right. It looks like the old action figures where you squeeze the legs together and the arm flies out in a direction.
Yeah. I don't remember what part of the movie it's from. I think it's like right before he gets like chopped, like fake chopped in half by the
guillotine.
The guillotine, yeah. Where this dude just walks up behind him with a 2x4 essentially, hits him in the back, and then he shoots around and stares at him for a second and then just falls backwards. It's like,
it's like he forgot to do it.
Yeah, he just straight up forgot to do it. He was like, Typhoon, you're supposed to fall down. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
They didn't have time or the money to reshoot it. So they were just like, whatever, man, he fell. Just roll with it.
Yeah.
Just run it. Just run it, man. It's perfect. Maybe, yeah. We'll just say, like, he forgot he was Superman.
Yeah. My next rip. Is going to be the very beginning. He gets home from college or whatever. He goes, says hi to his mother, and his dad's sick, sitting in bed. This dude grabs an apple. You can prove me wrong. I know nothing about what was happening in Turkey at the time. I know they're in the Middle East, so they can't be the best off, and they are probably not a first world country. Dude takes one bite of an apple, just leaves it. Doesn't ever go back to the apple. Like, he just passes it straight up in the hallway to go pack a suit to leave. It's like, you just took that's such a waste of food in a country where I don't know how much food you have. I'm assuming maybe not a lot.
No, they're okay on the food, but that is still a waste. The parents would be like, hey, the heck?
I know if I did that, I would be like,
I'm gonna eat that.
This will show my cultural ignorance, but I'm gonna ask the question anyway. Is it normal to hang a rug on the wall?
Yeah, I've seen it before.
Okay. It's a little bizarre to me, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's not like a thing you don't do.
Here was one of my rips. A light year is a measure of distance, not time. And how does the professor know about the planet Krypton? And that
yes,
it was.
Thank you.
Yes.
If it was destroyed.
Yes, and it was destroyed 7 light years ago. No, it is 7 light years distant.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing. Here's what you can do. Here's what I'm going to do right now. How long does it take to travel a light year? travel a light year. Not that this is going to be 20,000 years. So to travel a light year is 20,000 years. And this was 7. So, yeah, that's a lot.
140,000 years.
Yeah. And then to make it worse, you have to figure light is the fastest speed, but it, in terms of light years, light is not that fast. So that means the light from the dead star of Krypton has not reached Earth.
Yeah, it's going to take 7 years.
So that means that Clark, or Typhoon, depending on how fast his rocket was, should not be as old as he is, or should be, you know, they got the age wrong. This is, again, one of those, like, things in the 1930s where the director was like, just call it a light year. Nobody knows what that is anyway. And it was fine then because astronomy wasn't exactly the known quantity that it is today. So you can just roll with it. But yeah, by that point in history, it's like you guys could have at least calculated that. You could have said it was like however many kilometers, whatever you want.
Yeah.
But light year sounds cooler. Just say 12 parsecs.
Just take the Star Wars route.
Yeah, just do that. You ripped that off already, so just go all in.
Yeah. Real quick thing, and it kind of weirded me out when I was listening to it. In the middle of the movie, in that car scene, while she is in the back of that truck. Well, first of all, they use a lot of reused footage when that fake Jimmy Olsen is following her in the car.
Yes, they did.
But second of all, they kept using, I don't know if this is a translation thing, they kept using the word incubation.
Yes.
And like in a really creepy way, the dude was like, you're going to get incubated. And I was like, I do not want to know what they mean by incubation. I do not want to know.
You know what? Okay, here's what we're going to do. Out of just sheer curiosity, we're going to I'm going to do a strange thing. I'm going to Google Translate incubation. Okay? And I'm going to ask Google then if that word means something horrible, like we're going to kill you or something.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that I need to know that because incubation, I'm like, you're going to put her inside a plastic case to make sure she survives premature birth?
Yeah.
I think it's something about keeping you warm, but...
Because the word is,
we're going to keep you warm during the cold winter months.
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce this word. It's Kaluka?
Kaluka. Or whatever. So let's see. It means nope. Okay, let me try another way.
What does Kaluka mean?
Kaluka means incubation.
Oh, yeah. It does really translate to that.
Yeah, seriously just translate to it. Like, what do they mean by they're going to incubate her?
Okay, I'm Googling if it has like...
like a slang meaning?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, because that it freaked me out. Not like in a weird, it was in such a weird way that I was just like, this is not an okay thing to be saying, I guess, but what do they mean by they're going to incubate her?
I mean, because I almost want to ask one of my students one day. I have a Turkish student, so maybe I'll ask him. Because this is going to bug me. I'm going to ask him one day, like, okay, does this have a bad meaning? Like we're going to fry you or something, you know, like fry, kill, or you're going to be toast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that would make sense if that was the way they use it. But if I tell him, well, this is the word, does it have like a slang meaning? He'd be like, no, it's what we do to like babies when they're born premature. Okay, then the person who wrote this dialogue is not a wordsmith And I'm assuming that every Turkish person who saw that was going, what? They're going to what her?
I this could be a real stretch. Like I can feel myself stretching as I'm about to say these words. I wonder if, because incubation, meaning like taking care of the young child, if it's born prematurely, like taking care of it. I wonder if it's like a stretch to say like, oh, we're going to take care of you. I don't know.
Okay, like, I get you.
Like following the logic train on that is so hard. But I can honestly say it's the same thing with English. Like if you go up to a foreign person, you go, you're toast. They're going to be like, no, I am human.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm going with this. Like, yeah. So
there's got to be something, just one of these things that's just lost in translation that it. And this is why these translator apps aren't there yet, because there's nuance to translation that.
Yeah,
that you have to have a working knowledge of the culture and the language and the idioms to be able to effectively translate.
Everything I have here. Okay, I have incubation, brood, nest, hen, hatch, incubation, larval food, and the one that we really don't want to know, breeding.
Oh.
Are they saying that they're gonna go full on like oh my goodness, but they don't do that. That's the thing, they just leave her in the truck to die.
So yeah, I'm hoping. Okay,
you know, when they say that though, when they say that though, they are tying her up at that point. They attach her to the steering wheel. So maybe by incubate, they mean secure.
Oh, maybe.
Okay. Now you're getting that. That might work.
Because what happens next, she's kind of concerned about being left in the truck while she's in the car. And then they secure her so she can't go anywhere and they leave her there. So maybe by incubate, like they're really meaning like when you swaddle, you know?
That could be. Okay, so... I am literally messaging my Turkish student right now, and he probably won't get back today. But yeah, I need to know this. I'm presuming he's going to be as confused as we are.
And the other thing is it possible that this is like, I'm going to butcher this, a homonym, a homophone, where you have two words that sound the same but have different meanings?
Oh, okay.
And so like, the translation comes out as incubate because somebody heard the wrong word. Happens a lot more in Chinese and Mandarin because it's a tonal language. But is it possible that this is something even in English where you have two words that sound the same when spoken but mean something different?
Yeah.
Okay. I just tried right now. I put the word tie up and it's not even close.
Try secure.
Secure. Okay.
Hey, Timmy, what's your favorite part about this episode of Sci-Fi Malady? I like it when they talk about incubation for a long time.
I was just thinking that, like, this is
so does anybody else find it odd that there is this existential threat to the world about the Krypton Stone and this amazing new power? And the entire investigation of it is being done from a small-time newspaper office? With three reporters? Police. Yes.
And local police who are like, you saved the world. You think at least the national police would have gotten in on this?
Nobody in the government of Turkey wanted to come in and secure the Krypton Stone. They just wanted to leave this to mild-mannered reporter Typhoon.
Also, why does he reveal that he's Superman to everybody? Why?
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the biggest parts about Superman. He doesn't reveal himself to anybody besides Lois after, like, a very, very long time. Like, and even Batman, like, Batman was like, yeah, I know who you are. I won't reveal it to anybody, though. Like, it doesn't, like, oh, my goodness. That was one of the biggest parts that I was just like, why are you telling people you're Superman? You're just going to put them in danger. Like, nothing, they know you're Superman.
Nothing in this movie makes sense. His parents are just like, Typhoon. You are not our real son. Well, yeah. I mean, even if he's not an alien, there's a better way to start this conversation. Yeah. And you are an alien. We found you in a rocket ship. I have sensed all of these things.
Oh. Here's the strange green rock. It has your real dad in it.
Yeah. And we hit it. I hit it in this chest at the foot of my bed so amazingly well for 20 years.
Yeah, you know when you were a kid and you were messing around in there and I told you that don't go in there, my dirty stuff is in there.
That's what I meant. It was really just bed sheets, but actually, never mind.
And it's the least emotional farewell to your parents ever. Like, you're going on a voyage of discovery. It doesn't mean you can never come home, but even then it's like, good luck with the rest of your life, son. And then he goes out in the hallway. Hi, son. Here are some loaves of bread to eat when you're hungry.
Yeah. You know, culturally that makes sense, but at the same time, as you said, it's like he didn't at any point go, you know, I can come back and I plan on coming back. I mean, this isn't goodbye forever unless you plan on dying.
He goes to the Fortress of Solitude for like 3 hours and then is back at his job as a journalist. You can go see mom and dad. It doesn't have to be for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
So I am adopted and you lied to me and I'm a space alien baby. Goodbye for the rest of my life. Adoptive kind parents.
real quick, going
space back, rock dad has talked to me. Screw you,
space dad. Real quick, going back to that opening scene, and it's not just that opening scene, they really tried to pad the runtime of this movie with walking scenes.
Oh my gosh, I'm glad you said. I thought the same thing. There were moments of just, why is this fight taking so long? Or why are they keep driving? They just keep showing them driving around. They're really trying to pad this out, aren't they?
Yeah, because I counted them. I went back and counted them. There are 16 times where it's just shots of Superman, like in the suit or out of the suit, just walking towards the camera with no indication of like, oh, I'm going this way, or oh, this is what I'm doing. Nope. Just walks towards the camera, scene over.
Yeah.
You know, a couple more rapid fire rips. Superman, faster than a speeding bullet, who walks and fights at the speed of Jason Voorhees. And then the guillotine surely bisected him. Dude, you just watched bullets bounce off of him and you stabbed him with a knife that didn't penetrate and broke. Why would you think the guillotine would be any more effective? And
because he's a henchman, therefore idiot.
Three. Why do you keep shooting him? You've shot him at point blank range. The gun didn't misfire. It wasn't a blank. It didn't hit a bulletproof vest. Try shooting him in the face. One guy clearly aims the gun at his junk one time, at least trying something other than the chest and center mass. But, you know, stop shooting right at the chest. Shoot him in the face. Try that. Try something.
But you know what? That is a rip of all those kind of old superhero dramas where the bullet's not working. And instead of going, wait, hang on. Okay. Aim somewhere else. No, it's just unload the clip. It's not working. Try harder.
Yeah.
Unload another one.
Right. It's like D6 Star Wars. He'll fail that strength roll eventually. Yeah. But,
if we just shoot him a lot.
Right.
He'll go away.
And then the end scene. So you're the villain. You've got Superman powerless and flopping on the floor like a dead fish. He's coming after you. You're a villain. Kill him. Kill him.
That's the old James Bond thing. And I can't. That's a rip that's common to that. That's a trope. I can't accuse that on this film. If anything, that would be a pick just because they were like, well, everyone else is doing it, so let's just fit the trope.
Yeah, I get it. The hero wins because the villain is stupid.
You're right. But the villain has to take stupid pills. And so they got that part right, at least.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm saying this would be good. It's as faithful of a copy as you can get.
Yeah.
But then when you consider the year, it's like, you guys could have done better.
So we've arrived at that point.
what point?
The rating it and landing the flaming plane?
Yeah, I guess we could rate it. How many? Boy.
Oh, why does he wear women's glasses?
Oh, that was one you had to ask.
real quick, can I read a couple of these YouTube comments?
No, go for it. We still got time. We still got a few minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to read a handful of these that I've been looking at. The first one I want to read is hottest Lois Lane ever. Soup sure runs slow.
You know what? I would agree with you about the Lois one. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I will say that. Yeah.
Wrong movie for that lady.
Yeah. I would like to do this one next. This was commented 1 month ago. So people are still watching this movie. A Barbie doll and a hairdryer. That's what the director himself said. I'm assuming that's the Superman flying, and I really hope it's not like a weird fetish that he has.
What are you doing? I just like to pose Barbie with a hairdryer and pretend the wind's blowing through her hair.
Don't judge me.
Mom, get out of my room. I'm making a movie.
Spritz Barbie. Get the spray bottle.
I'm trying to incubate in here, Mom.
Is that what we're calling it now, son?
Superman.
Don't look.
That's a new title for this symptom. Superman. It's incubatious.
Oh my goodness.
They're incubating who now?
Incubation incarnate. Still, this one 1 year ago, still better than Batman v Superman.
I hate to agree with that person, but yes, because there was no Martha. That Martha. Was a moment that if you had any investment in this movie that was the moment that made you just go, what? Oh, right.
Oh my God. Scott, did you comment on this movie 4 years ago? And was your username 62 the bunny? Because it says, are those female glasses? ...
I did not comment on this video, but yeah, that's my comment. Definitely he's wearing women's glasses the whole time.
Oh my goodness. This is the best Superman movie so far, although that is not a very difficult thing to do.
Hey, that's rough.
That's bad. When a movie starts off with Christmas decorations and you can see the strings, you know it's a low budget or no budget.
Yeah.
Still not as terrible as I thought it would be. It's still pretty bad. Okay. Scott, I'm really sorry if you have to beep this out, but this comment... It just says the name of the studio industry, and I'm going to say it because it's funny, because it comes from a dude named Mike K. It says, how fitting is it that the studio's name is Cunt Films? Oh, my God.
Again. In Turkey, it's probably like, yeah, okay, fine. Smith Films, whatever.
I think we can leave that in because it's actually the name of the film studio.
Yeah. Oh, here's a good one. It's like old VHS porn without the money shot. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So with all that wonder in mind, I guess we can rate it by how many...
How many Christmas bulbs planets would you give this movie?
How many of the names of the film studio
are missing from Jor-El? But
yeah,
but I like the Christmas ball planets.
How many Greek gods that Jor-El named? Oh, my goodness.
So I don't know. I'm going to start this off with a 5 because it's bad, but it's as faithful a reproduction as they could do, and it's good for laughs.
I'm gonna give it a Rage. I'm right there with you. I'm gonna give this a 5. It is the best film we've watched in Turkey month.
By far.
And it's by far. You know, Turkish Star Trek was okay, but this is significantly better, and maybe that's because I had subtitles and I knew what was going on without having seen the episodes it ripped off. But there's a plot here. There's a real by-the-numbers plot. spoil the villain's plan, save the girl, save the day, be the hero. There's a minor hero's journey going on, even though he awakens to his powers much like Ray did. But this is a story. It's plagiarized and ripped, and the acting is hideous, and the fight choreography is terrible, and the sound design is garbage. But compared to everything we've seen, this is a masterclass in Turkish filmmaking. So I'll give it a 5.
I can't believe that.
This reminds me of like what Turkey's version of like a B movie would be. Like it's a solid B rating film in Turkey. I'll give it 4 Christmas Kryptons out of 10.
Okay. Now here's the big question, and I'll ask Thomas next time he's on the show. Out of everything we've seen, and Ruck, I mean, have you seen any of the other stuff like Turkish Star Wars? Or
I did watch a little bit of Turkish Star Wars because
we see the training scene.
Yeah.
Okay. So out of everything we did this month, what would be the scene that you thought was the best or funniest, whatever? And I got my favorite is in Turkish Star Wars when they're training. Which is good to begin, funny to begin with. But the best moment for me was the guy who was just patting the rock, the dust rock. And I kept going, every time he was patting it, I kept going, patty cake, bakery. He wasn't even like punching it hard. He was just patting it like he was kneading dough. No, he wasn't even doing that. Like my wife, when she makes bread, hits the dough harder than that.
I've got a toss up. It is the first time you see E.T. and his crotch fire extinguisher goes off. And then the dream sequence chicken dance in the class in Turkish E.T. that goes on for like 3 minutes.
That's confused me. I guess my close second would have been the E.T. ox cart ride above his temple in broad daylight.
But I, to me, the one that symbolized what I was expecting the most out of Turkish month was the E.T. crotch fire extinguisher from the clay potato.
Okay, I think mine definitely does come from Turkish Superman. And as much as I rip on this scene, I had to pause it so many times because I was laughing. It's the cave scene where you go into the cave, he's just normal clothes, he's in his normal clothes, throws the crystal, it explodes, his dad comes out of it all green, no teeth, tells him the Captain Marvel line. And then just you zoom back into Superman and he's in the Superman suit. And then he just walks out and then you see a doll flying across the screen with a chick rubbing his chest. And I'm like, this is hilarious. I paused it probably 4 or 5 times because I was laughing so hard. I thought my neighbors were going to come over and knock on my door at 2 a.m. and go, hey, can you keep it down? Because holy crap, dude. I thought that was so freaking funny. But definitely that the training scene in Star Wars was hilarious, too. I could definitely see that, Mark.
But the Superman flying catches you off guard because if you're not expecting it, you're just like, all right, this is dumb. He's walking out of the cave and, oh, my God, it's an action figure.
Yeah, it's a Barbie doll with a blow dryer. Oh, my goodness.
It just makes the bad scene worse.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he flies over the fishing boat. You're like, wait, what?
Man, I wish we had more time to talk about this movie because holy crap. I did want to touch more on the soundtrack, but I think at this point we could make an entire podcast on just the soundtrack of this movie.
I would say that's a reoccurring theme of Turkish film month is that they don't do their own soundtrack. They just kind of do things the way that I do for Sci-Fi Malady and Rage Master does. We just, you know, they don't create their own scores. We just pick something that seems like it would fit for what we're doing.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear the Turkish Superman that gets lifted. You got to like constantly change the intro music, like have it go from the Superman theme to the James Bond, then the disco, then back to the Superman theme.
You're just like, what?
What is happening? Able to do that.
With the Malady intro playing in the background softly.
Oh, yeah. Those are fantastic ideas, man.
I'm the ideas guy.
I'll send you some of the links to music.
All right.
There's going to be disco stew in there. So.
Oh, yeah.
Before we head out here, Ruck, I just want to ask, because for any of our sickies that are paying attention to the Crate audio drama, any news or updates you want to throw out there before we head out?
Of course. I'd like to say thank you for all the support. We recently, I think just on either on Thanksgiving or yesterday, we just hit 1,000 views on the trailer. Recently just got on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. So you can go ahead and check us out. We recently finally named the podcast so that we wouldn't get in trouble by Disney. We have decided on the name Beyond Shadows, which is a very fitting name for our series. So we're going to be calling it Beyond Shadows. Don't worry, it's still going to revolve around Crate and everything, so you don't have to worry about that. We should be hopefully coming out with the episode semi-soon. We're just finishing up art right now for the first episode. So please keep a look on the horizons for that. And also possibly some more co-tops coming up soon.
Hey, you might not have to worry about Disney so much right now. The mouse has its own problems. They're about to let 32,000 people go.
Yeah.
So they could recoup financial loss. Although what money are they going to get? I don't know.
But. Well, they're letting it's the theme parks. The theme parks are just hemorrhaging money right now.
Well, because nobody's going.
Right. And that's thank God the mouse isn't a theme park company anymore, though. They'll survive. They'll just, they're the biggest monopoly in the country. But that's another podcast about how much I hate the mouse.
So if any of you sickies out there happen to know Turkish, you can tell us what the story is with this incubation thing. Or if you have other comments, you can do so at
incubate a glowing finger at ravinglunaticmedia.com. ravinglunaticmedia.com. ravinglunaticmedia.com.
Rage you can master. Also, if you feel like Googling that, let us know what happens.
Do not Google search incubate a glowing finger.
Yes, please. We are not enthusiasm that.
In a sex jacuzzi.
Yes.
Yeah. No. I mean, and on one hand, I'm saying tell us if you do it, but on the other hand, I'm telling you not to do it. So
I'm sure it exists on certain hubs.
Yes. And Ruck, how can people get connected to the Crate drama if they have not done so?
You can please look up Cosmic Anomaly Productions on YouTube, Cosmic Anomaly Productions on Facebook, or Cosmic Anomaly Productions on Twitter. You can also send an email to cosmicanomalyproductions@gmail.com if you have any questions, inquiries, or anything else of the sort.
And I guess because Scott just farted.
Did I?
He's...
Wait, what happened?
Scott, I'm not kidding.
What's left for them to do, Rage Master?
Stay sick, sickies.